the part of in teaching and preaching while I was gone, and the brethren up there, that ones who know you, some of you was talking about being sure that we sent you their regards. So consider that done. I want to talk with you this morning about adopting a highway, as Brother Rich pointed out. When you drive around town and over the country, you'll see signs like this, and some organization will adopt a highway and keep it clean. And the reason why they need to keep it clean is because people are so filthy. They throw out all kinds of cans and all kinds of trash, and they litter. And so people have undertaken the idea of adopting a highway, and that way they sort of keep it clean. We see the signs there. But there's a special meaning for Christians who would adopt a highway. And the reason why, there's a very special highway the Bible talks about way back in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 35 in verse 8, Isaiah said, "A highway shall be there, and a road. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others." And the idea very clearly is that Isaiah saw a path of righteousness in the future that came to be known as the kingdom of the Lord, kingdom of Christ. And he was talking about the fact that this was something that God had prophesied, something had taught about, and I want to be in that highway. I want to choose that particular highway. We talk about adopting a highway. The concept is choosing a highway. We've talked a lot as in class this morning and in various times about the lower level and the higher level of our life. One is a spiritual level, one is a carnal level. Many people are traveling the carnal highway. They want what's fleshly, they want what's enjoyable, and we have our eyes on a higher concept. We have our eyes on the concept of a spiritual highway. Highway that ends in heaven. So as we look at that, we need to recognize what it means to be a part of that highway. Also, Jeremiah chapter 31 speaks of the same thing. So if you'll turn there, please. Jeremiah is bewailing the fact that the Israelites had gone astray and were not living according to the way they should. He said, "Encompass a mountain." And of course, that latter statement has to do with the fact of Jesus Christ and his birth, but particularly the idea that even Jeremiah saw the highway of Isaiah, but the highway of Isaiah was being taken away from. They were backsliding from that and not living as they ought to. So this morning, what's before us as spiritually minded people, someone who really feels a need for God, is I want to put my feet on the right pathway. I want to have my feet on that holy way that Isaiah talked about and be able to use that. Another way of saying that is what Joshua said a long time ago in Joshua 24, "Choose you this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah." I wish we all would say that and mean it. Amen. The idea that we're going to be on that pathway, we're going to choose the right pathway, because there are all kinds of forks in the road. There are all kinds of diversions that would pull us in the wrong direction. And I am deliberately choosing a highway. I don't think you get into it accidentally. Amen. I don't believe you can walk in the pathway of holiness accidentally, because there are too many choices that people make. There has to be a deliberate choice. I'm going to walk in the way that God wants me to walk. Had a good discussion in class this morning about Romans 8 and 1 John 1 about walking in, and it really connects with this lesson in a good way. Walking in the light is what's called dear action that continues, as he said, a journey. And the person who's going to be in this pathway or this highway makes up your mind, the aim of your highway. I don't want to go anyplace else. This is the way that I want to go. Now, there's going to be times when I stumble, and the Lord understands that. I mentioned Galatians chapter 6, where the Bible talks about being overcome in a trespass. That's not the same thing as walking in darkness. All of us are overtaken in trespasses sometimes through the but it doesn't change my aim. My aim is to walk in the path that God tells me to walk. Now, when we talk about walking, there's two sides. Or walking in darkness. Now, this is the one in which I'm going to do what I want. And John, this in chapter 1, you can't have fellowship with God with that kind of an attitude. It's not possible. Because God's life, in Him is no darkness at all. So if I make up my mind that I'm going to live in the worldly way, I'm going to be on that road, then you can't have fellowship with God. Thing is, overcoming a trespass, 1 John 1 says the blood of Christ will clean me.
Amen.
And so just like when I'm baptized, I am using the blood of Christ to forgive my past sins. My Christian continues in the blood of Christ, my sins, as 1 John 1 talks about, then the blood of Christ will cleanse me. So I've made the point a number of times, I can't go to heaven as a perfect man. I've made too many mistakes. But I can go to heaven as a forgiven person. And that's what John is saying. I'm looking toward heaven. I'm on the road that leads to heaven. I veer off mistakes, but I'm not. Have to understand. Choose that. Adopt that highway. Choose that particular way. And truly a high way. But we say a high way because a road is built above the swamps and above the water. It's a high way that makes it convenient to travel. And this is the holy highway that God has set so that we can go to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now that's the only road. I know people say, well, there are lots of roads to heaven. That's really not true. You don't find that. What you find is the way is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again in Acts chapter 9, when Paul was asking letters to go to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he found any who are of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Paul recognized, even when he was an enemy of the Lord, that there was the right way. And he did of that way. Clearly, you know, if I'm just a novice in reading the Bible, there's a way to heaven.
Amen.
And it's a way that God has put markers that I can see and understand. I want to go to heaven, and I'm looking for a particular pathway. The Bible talks about that, a highway of life. Let's look at some scriptures. In Philippians chapter 3, when he wrote this wonderful letter, and rejoice. He had that kind of an attitude. In chapter 3 and verse 14, he said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The batteries are full. Gotcha. Paul We get caught up in the mundane things of life. We get sick, we get discouraged, we have things we have to do, we have jobs and all those kind of things. But that's a part of in life. But at the same time, in the mind, the spiritual person never loses sight of where I'm going. That has to do with how I talk. That has to do with how I treat others. That has to do with where I attend worship services. That has to do with who I am. That I press on toward that prize of the high believing in Jesus Christ. Back in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, and I'll just put using some scriptures that emphasize the idea of that. In chapter 2, verse 6, he's talking about how God has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Raised us up. And Colossians says, if you've been everything. So this is what my life is all about. That's what the Christian's life is all about. Yeah, you have to buy groceries, you have to mop floors. One of the funniest things I've ever seen, I saw on the internet yesterday about a man who was an uncle of a brand new baby, and he was trying to change the diaper. And he gagged, and he gagged, and he gagged, and he gagged. And, you know, that's life. But that doesn't stop me from thinking about heaven every day. This is not just a Sunday thing. This is not just whenever I think about it. I'm on a road, and I know where I'm going. And the old devil wants to knock me off that road. And I'm not going to let him do that. So the Apostle Paul is very clear about this, and he said, God raised us up. Now, I know that's a spiritual lesson, how we've been raised up from sin and darkness into life. But there's also that spiritual level that he's talking about. Then Romans chapter 6, that good passage we've been studying for a while on Sunday mornings. In Romans chapter 6, he talks again about that sort of thing in verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the glory from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So this way of holiness is the way of new life. I'm forgiven. And only the ones that are forgiven, when Jeremiah and Isaiah talked about that way, he said the unclean can't be on that. It's not made for the unclean. And so when I'm raised to walk in newness of life, I'm allowed to walk that pathway. We talked in class about what it meant to be in Christ. There's forgiveness in Christ. There's hope in Christ. But in Christ, once you're baptized into Christ, you're raised up, your feet are put on that highway, and you're walking the right direction that we ought to go. Then back to the book of Colossians, in chapter 2 and in verse 12, again the Apostle Paul talked about being buried with him in baptism, which also you're raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from. I baptized a number of people. I saw what happened when they went under the water and came up. But there's something else that happens that I can't see. John 3 talks about that, about the new birth. And there's a spiritual birth that takes place. The old sins are left behind because you've been buried with Christ. You've reached the blood. His blood forgives us of that sin, and I'm raised up. But again, you see, I'm raised up to this highway. It's a highway of holiness. I never want to lose my way. I've got a map. I've got a map on how to do that, and so I need to stay with that. The Lord's people are really surrounded by filth. Peter talked. That up. That's pretty disgusting to think about it. You know, they're talking about human trafficking in Texas. They talked about the ISIS group kidnapping people. As ugly as it can. And you think the inhumanity of it all. I went to Auschwitz one time when I was in Germany, and the ovens are still there. And you read books about that, and they said that all during the day and night, they burned people in the. How can men do such wicked things? But look at television. Look at what's happening in our nation today. Wickedness is uplifted. People are glorified that live an ungodly life. The wealthiest people are the ones who are willing to do anything for publicity. And you see the filthiness of it. Well, that was true in Peter's day, and it's true in our day. And we've got to learn to look at sin the way God sees it.
Amen.
He looked at that church at Laodicea, and they made him want to vomit.
Yeah.
Now, that's something to think about. And to think what God is seeing, I see just a little bit of life, and God sees the whole world.
Amen.
And you think about what's happening in the world around the Christian, and it ought to make us appreciate light even more. I tell you, I'm so thankful to be a Christian. I don't want to be a part of this world.
Amen.
Just a moment ago, Brother Powers led, this world is not my home. And that's true. I'm just passing through. And I've got to recognize that that's a spiritual truth. This world is not my home. And I see the things that disgust me, but at the same time, I want to help people be saved. I read where there's 7 billion people on the world now. I didn't know there's that many. I may be wrong. But I read there were 7 billion people. How many, how few are Christians? Faithful Christians. We've got a big work to do, even though people don't realize what our work is. But the world is that way. And the living way that I'm talking about is a way free from pollution. Should be the church, the kingdom of the Lord, should be a holy place. So many times people bring wickedness into it, like they did in 1 Corinthians 5 with the man who lived with his father's wife. But we recognize that sometimes people just don't live the way they ought to live, even in the church. But that's what we're striving to do. So in Hebrews 10 and verse 20, the writer said, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, that is through his veil, that is his flesh. So Jesus showed us the way. Peter says he was without sin. And that's the way we ought to be. We do sin, but by the grace of God we're forgiven. And I can live in a different way. And you know, just from the standpoint of looking back at my family, the family in East Texas, most of them drank. Most of them were adulterers. They never, ever went to services. My mother, my sweet mother, was the one that taught me the way. She took a lot of abuse for that. But seeing the kind of woman that she was, I chose that way.
Amen.
I've never regretted it. I've met people in the process of dying who will say, I wish I'd done something differently. But I've never met a Christian who says, I wish I'd never been baptized. You know, I've never seen that. Because when you get down to that time of your life, what's really important is this way that we're on, this new way, and that never goes away from us. The church has to be kept clean. Holy way. Again, the church. Paul told the Corinthians, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I'm so thankful for the peace that we have here. I'm so thankful for the good lives that we have here. It just takes one person to mess that up. But you know, you have to choose to do that. And 2 Corinthians talks about what kind of people they were, but they were born again. They became children of God, and they were sanctified. Well, each Christian must remain clean. In talking about pure religion in James chapter 1, James talked about the fact that pure and undefiled religion before God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble or affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from... along with some of those. I love the story Paul told this morning about on the base with marijuana, when he said, oh, Mama, Mama, you told me if I'd been in church tonight, this wouldn't have happened. keep yourself unspotted.
Amen.
And you have to decide to do that, because the world is after you, constantly prodding and poking and trying to find a weak spot. And this is something we have to learn. We're on a different highway than that. And so you say no to filthy minds. I remember very well when Nancy Reagan was saying, say no to drugs. Now, they laughed at her and laughed at her, but that's the answer.
Amen.
It really is the answer. Just say no. Now, I know there's a lot more that goes into it, but that's the real answer. And filthy minds are one of those things that we have to avoid. It is so easy on the internet today to be filthy.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll have to delete something that comes in on Facebook because people put up bad jokes and ugly things, and I'll just delete them. I'm glad I've got a delete button. But it's easy to be filthy in this world. Sadly, I've known some preachers who've got into pornography and lost their families and lost their soul, given up the Lord. It's just amazing the depth of depravity to which a person can become when you have that sort of thing going on. But Paul gave us the answer to that in chapter 4. And he said in chapter 4, beginning of verse 8, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. These things, what Paul did was to turn to the Lord and be faithful unto death, and that's what we have to do as well. And be careful about what we speak. We hear it all the time. The danger of filthy language is you get accustomed to it. It doesn't bother you. Go to a movie and you hear all these wicked things, and we hear and see these things, and after a while, well, that's just the way of life. And we have to be careful that we don't adopt that kind of lifestyle, because it's all around us in filthy ways. The world is full of them. And I know how to do those things. I was raised, like I said, in East Texas, and I saw these things. I know how to do them. Folks, if I wanted to be wicked, I know where to start. If I want to be wicked, I know how to do it. I've seen it. But I ain't gonna. I'm not gonna do that. I've chosen a highway. I've chosen a high way, a spiritual way. And I'm so thankful that my mother introduced me to that. And so by showing ourselves positive influence, I can tell others about this kind of way. You live it, and then you teach it. Again, the book of Colossians chapter 3. Paul said, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's the answer to Romans 8 when you get thinking about it. Our life is in Christ, and in Christ we have that forgiveness, and in Christ we're a different kind of person, and we set our mind on those things and we look for ways to put Jesus in our life. I think the Lord's Supper is such a blessing. I just love it when it gets quiet in here and the bread's being passed and our minds are centered on Jesus and the cup is being passed and we're thinking about the blood that was shed. It's just a wonderful time of the day. It's a sorrowful thought, and yet it's a glorious thought, because He was risen from the dead. And at the very time that the devil thought, I've got Him, He's in the grave. That became the greatest power of Jesus Christ, because He was raised from the dead.
Amen.
And so those are wonderful things. You know, ever since I've been a Christian, I just couldn't tell you how many times I've taken the Lord's Supper. But it never becomes dull. When you put your mind on what's taking place and what took place on Calvary, and you understand what happened, we look for Jesus in our lives. And so the end result of all those things is I recognize there are two ways to go. basically, we can make this really difficult. We can get into philosophical discussions, but basically, one or two ways to travel on. Matthew, Jesus said in chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in thereby, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. Let's walk it together. If you're not on that highway, you're on the wrong way. If I can ever study with you, help you to find that right way, it's in the Bible. But let's read it and study it together. If you need to be risen with Christ by being baptized into the Lord, we're always ready to do that. If you've lost your way, if your feet are not on that highway, then repent. Turn around, get back on the highway, because the destination is heaven itself. If we can help you in any way, please let us know as we stand together and sing the invitation song. Will you come?
Would you be